reading is Psalm 23 on page 555 of your pew Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 31 to the end. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord.
How many of you like reading books? Do you like reading books? Do you like reading books? Haven't books read to you? Great. Who else likes reading books? Do you know something? Great stuff. I'm getting a bit worried here. I've seen a few of you at the library and you haven't put your hands up. So obviously some of those are just there for the cake. But never mind. So what are your favourite books? Do you like reading? Roald Dahl? Football books. Wow. I like reading books too, and I like books where there's things moving on, a bit of adventure. But there's some books that the trouble is, if you pick them up halfway through, if I open this John Grisham book, chapter 15, and I don't know what's really either side of it, it doesn't mean very much, does it? Or you don't quite get the plot. But there are other books, you know, whether it be a gardening book or a nice technical book like this, which Peter at the back there would probably enjoy reading. You can pick it up and you can read bits and bits, in bits of it, and it's fine. The book of Acts is one of my favourite reads. It's full of action. It's over a 30-year period, but there's things going on, and it's exciting, it's inspiring, you feel there, it's also challenging. But the trouble is, if I just pick it up and open up a page and read a passage, unless I'm careful and know what goes before and after it, I don't get the whole picture. You have to get the whole picture to know what's going on. So what's going on in our passage from Acts this morning? Well, we know the book of Acts includes all sorts of events. It starts just after the Ascension. You have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which really transforms the likes of Peter, who suddenly has the ability to speak wonderfully in front of crowds to the Jewish leaders. But also there's some negative things. You have the stoning of Stephen. And we read that just after that time, there was a great persecution of the church. Great persecution. And then we have a period where we have Saul, who later became Paul, having his conversion. And that is in the first part of the chapter that we heard. And what Mark read was that after Paul's conversion of Paul, they actually had a period of nice quiet. And this is about 2 or 3 years after that event. Now, last week when you were here, we heard David Beals talking about the breakfast on the beach and where Peter is effectively reinstated, because Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And three times, Peter, increasingly, frustratingly, says, yes, Lord, you know I do. As we heard from Open the Book the other week, didn't we? And Jesus says, you know, feed my lambs, look after my sheep, feed my sheep. So what's happened in this period of calm is that Peter has the opportunity to go around and feed the sheep that have been in the different church communities of believers. Now, many of those believers would probably have been at Pentecost in Jerusalem, because there was a great crowd there, and they were dispersed. And so he comes to this place at Lydda, which is in Judea, going towards the coast. And when he gets there, he meets this guy, Aeneas, or I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But anyway, and this guy's bedridden. And he really follows the practice of what Jesus did. He basically tells them, in the name of Jesus, get up and take your mat. And it's a bit like the time when those lads drop the cripple on a platform through the roof, isn't it? Because Jesus tells the young man there to get up and take his mat. And what happens after that? Well, we have the word gets around. People start coming turn to faith. But the word gets out beyond that. And what happens is, on the coast, some 15 miles away, they've obviously heard about it. Because when this lady Tabitha or Dorcas gets ill and then she dies, they send two men off to go and get hold of Peter, to bring him. And rather like when Jesus was in the house of the daughter of Jairus' house, and the daughter is not well, there's crying, wailing women, and he nicely pushes them out of the room. But he prays, and then he tells Tabitha to get up. But so why is this passage recorded? Because there have been other events going on, other miracles, but actually it's a prelude to a pivotal moment in the rising of the church. Because Peter, when he's at Joppa on the coast, way up further up, about 30 miles away, there's somebody else. And one day Peter is praying on the roof and a sheep comes down and he's told to eat. And he says, no, Lord, can't do that. It's unclean. But then there's a knock on his door, and there are two men asking him to go and see Cornelius, who's up the coast 30 miles away. Cornelius is of Italian regiment, probably a Roman, basically, a Gentile, one of the enemy, you might say. But Peter goes and is asked to explain the gospel. So it's a pivotal moment of what's happened. But what else can we learn from this morning's readings? Because they're both in the lectionary. Well, the disciples would have been through a rough period. They'd been persecuted. A lot of their friends would have been forced away. Saul had been going around throwing people into prison. People had been locked up, beaten, you name it. So it wasn't exactly an easy time. But things had changed. And they would have known the Psalms. They would have known the offerings that Psalm 23 in particular gives. You know, it emphasizes God's unwavering care, provision, and guidance. They can always be depended upon. And the reality is that we all go through dark periods in our lives. It can be illness of a loved one. It can be in our own health. It can be problems at work, difficult relationships, hurts. But the psalm tells us God meets our needs. It says, I shall not be in want. God gives us rest. It says, he leaves me beside quiet waters, restoring my soul. God guides us in paths of righteousness. He tells us we have nothing to be afraid of, whether in the shadow of death or from evil. We have his presence, for you're with me. We have his security. We have his rod and staff. We have a hope, for we'll be anointed, have an overflowing cup, and dwell in the house of God forever. There's probably some here who may find those words comforting. I don't know. There's probably some we know who need it. The passage from Acts reminds us of the importance of prayer. Peter prayed before the raising of Tabitha. You know, often it's very easy to do things in one's own strength, talents, and abilities. I, and no doubt Emma, who was on the panel on Friday, are very grateful for all those who prayed over the visit by the candidate in the interview. And going forward, it's always vital we just keep praying. Absolutely vital. And whatever we do, it's essential we give glory to God. And that's what Peter did, because he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. We are only God's intermediaries. That's all we are. We're just his servants. We're just his agents at the moment. The other thing I want you to note is that good reports bring unexpected and unimagined consequences. In Lydda, more people in the area became Christians. But also the word got to Joppa. And the raising of Tabitha led the gospel going to the Gentiles. It's a step-by-step process. You know, if we have good reports coming out from here, whatever you are doing, word gets out. We don't know where it will end. But we may well have people coming back to faith or coming to faith, which is important. Everything one does has a consequence. I'm sure there's a law for that, Mark. I can't remember don't know what it is, but a scientific law there somewhere. But no, but not can I. Now I suspect some of the good people here have been buying things like Judith Donaldson books. You know, if I was going expecting to be talking to Emma here this morning and saying about Louisa and Rupert and saying how for the next 7 or 8 years they'd be reading Julia Donaldson books one after the other numerous times. I don't know about you, but my granddaughter Charlotte reckons she's read the whole of the Harry Potter series 7 times. 7 times. That's a bit... Never mind. But what I'd ask, my challenge for you this morning, actually is, just pick up the book of Acts this week and read it through. You know, in our church Bibles, the print is fairly small. It's only 36 pages. So it won't take you too long to read through. I reckon you can do that in a week. Shouldn't be too hard. But it's important to know the step-by-step changes, the challenges, the inspiration, how people acted, how they were so generous with what they did, you know, and they're giving to one another. And, you know, that's, I think it would be good for us to just to read it. It's always good, you know, it is one of my favourite, because when you're reading end of Acts and Paul and Luke is writing, and then we crossed over to this place, and then we went there, we had this. You can, it's like a, it is a storybook you can read easily, but you can absorb so much more from it. And my prayer is that the food of the book of Acts will give a hunger for us to be more like the early church, for a filling of the Holy Spirit and a greater trust in God. Amen.